picture it. It's 1999. I'm from a small town in Colorado, and I'm in the eighth grade, about to go into ninth grade. All of my peers have fully embraced puberty. The ladies, they're stuffing their bras, wearing the lowest cut shirts, the tiniest of shorts, trying to get the attention of the boys. And they're reading their 17 magazines for the best makeout tips. And then there's me. I'm wearing black basketball high top sneakers, Umbro shorts, an oversized No Fear t-shirt with the quippy phrase, "If you're standing too close to the edge, you're still taking up too much space." I was furious about what puberty was doing to my body, and I felt like my body was betraying me. So instead of wearing tiny t-shirts and stuffing my bra, I was stacking on the sports bras every morning, taking the duct tape, and strapping the girls in. Because nobody was going to know that I was going through puberty. I was not okay with it. And while my peers were reading their 17 magazines, I was reading the Christian Science Monitor, catching up on my news, reading a little Ayn Rand because every girl's got to know her, and basically not fitting in. I was invited to people's houses to spend the night because I got along better with their parents than their kids. And I think there were some times where I'd be over there and my friends would actually leave to sneak out of the house while I was holding conversations about the war in Kosovo and whether Reaganomics was really good. My mom, recognizing that I was going into high school, a time where it helps to kind of fit in, suggested that I go to a camp that summer. And for me, all the brochures she kept handing me had people in really tight harnesses doing ropes courses with like their hands on their butts and doing trust falls. And I was like, they're gonna know I tape my boobs if I go to this camp. We trust fall and they're gonna be like, what is that? Do you have a back brace? Luckily, one day in the mail came this shiny, glossy pamphlet. It had this girl with this long, flowing blonde hair standing next to a horse with a school in the distance and acres of land. And when I turned it over, there was this boy, and he had a Nirvana t-shirt on, and he was reading Friedrich Nietzsche. And on it, it said, "Have the best summer of your life. Come to the Institute in Oregon, where you'll learn, grow, and have ideas exchanged with international students from around the world." And I was like, oh, these are my people. I need to go here. So I took the pamphlet to my parents, and I'm like, I need to go to this eight-week camp in Oregon to study all summer. And my mom was like, what? And I begged and I begged, and she said, all right. And so we made it happen. So as I'm packing my bags and we're getting in the car to get to the airport, my mom stops by the mailbox and gets this envelope from this institute I'm going to. And we're driving along, and she opens it up and is reading it out loud, and it says, "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Fisher, we are so excited that your daughter will have the opportunity to learn the teachings of L. Ron Hubbard and the Church of Scientology." My mom immediately starts wailing in the front seat. Ah, they're fascists! We can't let her go! And my dad's driving the car, and his name is Tiny, and he's not a tiny man. And he looks over at my mom and goes, "The fuck, she's not going, God damn it. She's going to get on that fucking plane, and she's going to go because we didn't put so much goddamn money down for her not to go." And my mom's like, "But what if she gets in a cult?" "Well, fuck it. We'll figure it out later." I'm sitting in the back seat going, "What's a cult? Well, they have violent uprisings there? I don't understand. Anyway, so they put me on the airplane because, of course, pragmatism makes the day. And I get on the plane. I get to Oregon. And when I arrive, I meet this little cohort who's also flown in at the same time as I have. And we're getting into the van. And, of course, my first question as we're stepping onto this van is, hey, guys, any of you Scientologists? And one kid kind of turns around. He goes, why? Are you a Scientologist? And I was like, no. My mom said y'all are fascists, so I was wondering what that's about. And he sort of laughs, and he goes, oh, no. I mean, I haven't had any violent uprisings recently, so, you know, we're really just about, like, clearing our subconscious minds of things that get in the way of being really present in reality. I was like, oh, that sounds really nice. I'm great, super, I like you guys. And so onward we go, and it's the best couple of weeks of my life. We read all day and study and do math. We have a leisure time and we watch Ken Burns documentaries. I mean, this is the place. And there's this guy there called Kenny, and he and I sort of start this reading club because we're that cool. And we're spending a lot of time together when one day this girl who lived on my floor comes up to me and she looks me up and down and she goes, I know what you're doing and it's not gonna work. You cannot have my man. And I'm still, of course, rebelling against puberty, so I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even have boobs. And so I go tell my roommates what happens, and they're all like, no, we're giving you a makeover. So on our way to the Ashland Shakespeare Festival, we take a stop off at the Metropolis of Fred Meyer, and my roommates make me buy my first bra, a fitted t-shirt, and a pair of pants. And we go to the Shakespeare Festival, we see some show, and at the intermission, Kenny comes up to me, he goes, so why the outfit change? I don't understand. Where's the quippy t-shirt? I was like, oh, well, you know, my roommates gave me a makeover, and he was like, well, huh. And he kissed me on the cheek, and he goes, I liked you the other way, but do you? I was like, oh, that's nice. So we go back to reality and do the school study thing, except for this one day when my teacher pulls me out of our classroom and walks me the like four stories down into the basement to this very dimly lit room. And when we go in there, that girl, Samantha, who had been telling me I wasn't going to take her man, is sitting there. And Thomas, my teacher, goes, so Samantha has something to tell you, Christy. And I sit down and she thrusts this $5 bill into my hand and goes, I broke into your room. I stole $5. I read your journal. And I've been spreading a rumor that you're a hermaphrodite. I'm, of course, stunned and go, okay. And Thomas slams his hand out on the table and goes, that is not how we accept truth here. I'm like, okay. And he goes, try it again. So I say, Samantha, it's okay. I accept your apology. And he goes, that's so much better. So then Samantha starts telling me about how she was caught breaking into my room and how she had to have her levels measured. And they found all these thetans. And she's been doing all this work to get clear and, like, really get into reality, and that I should have my measures read while I'm down there in this dimly lit room. And I'm like, you know, I'm busy. I got this Ken Burns documentary I gotta get back to. Thanks. It's been great. And I kind of bust out of there. And I go find Kenny because he's my, you know, Scientology guru. I'm like, Kenny, I got taken to this dimly lit room. This is what happened. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's the room of truth. Oh, you should have gotten your levels read. I mean, that costs like thousands of dollars in real life. And I mean, just the fact that you could get clear and that you could just be bebopping around the universe later on. I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, you know, like when you die, it's like a choose your own adventure. You just like go wherever. And I was raised Christian, so I'm like, what? And he's like, you know, we create this reality that we see. I'm like, so let me get this straight. Like, you made this school right now? Yeah. Cool, man. That's great. So I kind of walk away and I'm like, what? These were my people. Like, what happened? Well, then I get pulled into the provost's room a couple weeks later, right before I'm about to leave. And they're like, you are an ideal candidate and student here. We love you so much. We have a scholarship so you can come board here year round. And you're also a poster kid for a Sunset magazine. Cool. I'm going to have to talk to my mom about that. So I go call my mom. And at this point, as I'm talking to her, I'm like, I'm finding it easier to put a bra on than it is to accept what these people are saying. I think I would rather have membership in, like, the world of women and accepting the fact that, like, I'm going to be a lady than accept that I'm going to be bebopping across the universe. And that's the story.